good to have you here this morning. I love Charlie Brown, right? I love that whole sort of theme, you know, Linus, Peppermint Patty, Pig Pen, the whole nine yards, the flying little dog house and everything like that. But if you think of Charlie Brown and you think of Christmas, there's a couple of little stories that came about around Christmas, right? They had the little Christmas tree thing that was falling right on, yeah, you know what I'm talking about, and somehow we just wrap a little Linus blanket right, and boom, and all of a sudden up this thing comes. Well, that's not the Christmas story I'm thinking of. This morning. Charlie Brown was frustrated. Do you remember that? And he's on stage with Linus, and he looks up, and he just calls out, "Is there anyone who can tell me what Christmas is all about?" Right? Do you remember that? And Linus, "Well, I can, Charlie Brown." And he walks out to the center of the stage, and he actually drops his security blanket. That's interesting. We won't go into that. There's a whole bunch there. And he goes to tell the story. Now, this morning, I want to be Linus, because in Charlie Brown stories, there's often a teacher, and what does everyone hear when the teacher's talking? Now, sometimes I'm called a teacher. I don't want to be that teacher this morning, okay? All right, are you with me? Can you let me be Linus this morning? And I'm going to do my best to try to help us, and frankly, we've been trying our best to try to help you understand what the real meaning of Christmas is all about. You see, this series today, this series that we've been going over the last few days is about good news of great joy for all people. It really is. It's this idea that God has made himself known among us. And this morning, I get to expand a little bit about the Savior who has made himself known to you, to me, for all people. And as Linus was reading and as Kim read for us earlier, "Don't be afraid," he said. "Don't be afraid. Today in a town of David, a Savior has been born to you. The Savior is Jesus, and he's among us." And he's among us this morning. Hope is here. Really is. Jesus was this miracle child born after years and years and years of waiting. There was anticipation that he was coming. He was born to this virgin, this young lady, to a teenager, Mary, and it was a birth ridden with scandal. And yet, in the midst of this Jesus, this baby, this Savior was born, and it's good news of great joy that is for all people, and he has made himself known. And what we know about the story, if we allow ourselves to continue on, is that this Jesus who was born in the manger grew and lived among us. Hope is here. A Savior has been born. It is good news that brings great joy for all people. I think you and I, and frankly our culture, our world around us, could use some good news. There's lots of news, and you likely watch it, right, at 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock or... Does anyone watch the news at 11 o'clock anymore? Does that actually happen? I'm not so sure. Oh, there's a couple. All right, nice. Some of you follow it on Twitter, right? Like, you just, whatever your news source is. And man, there's a lot of news. But we need good news today. We need to be reminded of the good news, of the story, of the Savior who is born. Now, Savior is an interesting term, isn't it? Probably as you hear the word Savior, there's all kinds of ideas that kind of conjure up in your mind. Last week, Kenan reminded us of what the anticipation was of the Jewish nation. They were expecting this king, this Savior, this Messiah to be this conquering person, right? To stand up and to lead a nation from a political and military standpoint. That's what they're anticipating. So maybe that's kind of the thing that comes up for you. I decided to do a little word association, and I fired off an email to a whole bunch of people this week, and I was just asking, when you hear the word Savior, what kind of comes to mind? What do you think about? One of them responded, "Well, I think about superhero," right? We're in the Marvel era, right? We're retelling all the superhero stories, woohoo, right? And the idea and the concept there was that the superhero is someone who can do things that I could never do. That's an interesting concept. I think there's some validity and truth in that idea of what a Savior is. Many people responded in some way, shape, or form that a Savior was someone who came to help people. Right? Like a Savior was about other people. And I think that's a really, really good idea on what that. Some said that the Savior came to pay a debt. Another person nerded out on me, quite frankly, and said that. And I've got to read it because I have no idea what they're talking about, okay? Because it has to do with J.R. Tolkien and Tolkien or whatever his name is. I can't quite get there. Some of you just have lost all, you know, sense of respect for me. Anyhow, it says there, here's what it is. I think of yucata, I said it well, yucatastrophe. There we go. A word that, this was from Kim, a word that Tolkien invented to demonstrate a sudden birth of hope when all seems lost. Like Gandalf appearing on the horizon with the Knights of Rohan to save the day when all seem lost in battle. That's actually not a bad idea, this sudden burst of hope. This idea that it's coming, it's here. And we're going to be okay. Some people suggest that a Savior came to save us, if you like, from ourselves. And I've been around long enough to know that I can use some help there. I can get myself in trouble and I can start doing things. And I don't mean to self-destruct, but I sort of do sometimes. I need help, some saving from myself. This idea is that the Savior is sent from God, and some would say, frankly, that the Savior idea, this concept of Jesus' baby Savior, is really, frankly, a crutch. I mean, what do we really need that for? So different ideas on what maybe this Savior is. Jesus is this Savior that we want to talk about this morning. Jesus is the good news. And it goes on, Luke, in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, sort of characterized Jesus' life on earth and talked about it. And he said, when Jesus was on earth, Jesus went around doing good things. Now, that sounds like good news. And we need more of that. We need more of that. Jesus, he fed people. He healed the sick. He loved the forgotten, the marginalized. The people, for whatever reason, whether self-destruction or life just happened to them, who somehow were knocked to the curb, were kind of pushed away. Jesus saw them, and he valued them, and he loved them. Jesus, we saw it in our our angels video, Jesus didn't just kind of honor men, but he honored women and children. Did you catch that? Christina, women, and Eileen, children. So true, though, in that culture, women and children were to be seen and not heard. And Jesus turned that on its head. Jesus honored women and children. Jesus forgave people of their wrongdoing, their sin. Jesus came to save and to help people from the entrapment of the harmful, destructive patterns and ways that we live. Now, as we were singing, I was intrigued, actually, as we were singing these Christmas carols this morning, how much theology is actually in some of them. And I noticed a bit of theology that was in God Rest You Merry Gentlemen earlier. And it said in there that God comes to save us from the power of Satan. Have you thought about that? Because Paul says that over and over in his writings, in many of the other letters that Paul wrote to the churches and the new followers of Jesus. Regularly, he talked about how Jesus, right, baby Jesus who grew up, lived, died on the cross, was raised from the dead, how he defeated the works of Satan to help us, to offer us the ability through him to stand, to walk, to have the habits and patterns and the strongholds that are in our life to be defeated. You see, Jesus, our Savior, is here to help us today. He's among us today to help us. And this is great news. It's such good news. He wants to come and he wants to save us from these destructive patterns and choices and ways that we live. You see, when you think of Savior, you might also kind of wonder, okay, so It seems like this word savior, this concept would be that there's a saving from something, right? Okay, if I'm falling and someone saves me, I'm saved from sort of falling to that. But is there another aspect to it? Is there sort of a saved from and a saved to something? I think there is. I think there's more to being saved than just sort of being caught. You see, Jesus came. Paul reminds us constantly in the story that we are saved from some things, but also to a selfless life. For God's glory and the good of others. A life as Jesus lived. A life, as Luke said about Jesus, going around and blessing and serving others, doing good to others. That yes, we are saved from our past sins, our habits, our self-destruction, our whatever those patterns and things are that are going on in our lives, those things that we're ashamed, that we don't want anyone to hear about, those things sort of, if you like, that are stuffed deep away that we'd be ashamed. If they knew me in high school, oh my goodness. I mean, honestly, if my wife knew me in high school, I don't think we'd have ever got married. Because I've got some things. We all do. And Jesus came and he forgives that. But it's not just about what we've been forgiven from, it's what we are saved to. We are saved from our past, but we're saved to a life of following Christ, of following Jesus, a life of grace and mercy. A life of forgiveness, a life of generosity, a life of blessing, a life of looking out for the good of others, for the oppressed, for the marginalized. Like all of those things, right, that Jesus was about. All of those things that we see Jesus doing, he calls us to follow. And we're called to that. That's one of the reasons why I love this church. Is that we're getting it. I mean, you guys, you're out there, I want to say killing it, but some of you might not get that, right? Like you're doing it, right? Like you're out there living it. Like you know that this idea of following Jesus and adoring him and worshiping him and all those things that we love about the music and all that, that it's beyond this room, it's beyond CPC, like it's in our everyday life. So great to be a part of a church like that, and that's what it is. Helping the confused, maybe helping the deceived, helping the brokenhearted, helping those who are angry and spiteful. And those who have hurt you in some way, shape, or form, possibly at a previous Christmas. It's a tough time of year. We get together as family and some things have been said and not done in the past. And you're going into it and you're like, I got to see that person again. Oh my goodness, they're going to bring this up and all right. And it's already churning and I've just ruined your morning. God wants to help us. He wants to bring good news to us. First, for us, healing within ourselves, and then for us to go and share that with those we live with. Spiteful. The enemy. Rather than allowing things to escalate deep within our souls, our hearts, rather than allow the violence and the revenge, if you like, and the oppression to allow the good news, the grace, the mercy, the forgiveness, the fact that God wants to heal us. That we could find joy. As Kim read it, it said, cause great joy. Boy, we need that. We need that kind of news. And this is good news. It's good news for you personally. And it's good news for those around you. Because the better version of you, right? The better version of you, the better more fully that you learn how to live and follow Jesus, like when that starts to really take shape in your life and really start to form you, man, it's good for everybody. A couple weeks ago, I reminded you in John chapter 1, it said in there, in Jesus we find life. In him is life. And I guess this morning what I'm wanting us to consider and to think a little bit about is, let's not leave Jesus in the manger. I mean, he's cute. Did he cry? I don't know. I'll let you figure that out, right? But there's so much more. Jesus really did grow up, whether you want to let him grow up or not. And he lived. And he walked among people just like you and just like me. And he experienced the emotions. He experienced the temptations. He experienced what we experience. And he asked us, would you be willing to follow me? I mean, that was the call he did regularly with people. Come follow me. Learn from me. You know, last week, Kenan said, how about you dig into the Gospel of John? Great, great book. Learn from Jesus. And, you know, on that, I'd just like to remind you, we've got Next Step journals that will help you. Some of you need to write things down. We've got journals in our little, you know, bookshelves out there. There's some tips and some really great ideas on how you can interact with the biblical story and how you can help sort of let it resonate deep within you. And if you don't have one of those, or you're maybe the kind of person that needs to write to help you remember things, you're not alone. So I'd encourage you maybe just to grab one of those journals. If you're new with us this morning, you get one free. It's in your little packet. Woo! All right. The Savior. It's more than a baby. But he was a baby. And he came to recognize and be able to identify with you and I. It's huge. It's so, you know, if that's a little confusing, I just want to also let you know that we have some classes that come up. We've got an Alpha class starting in January. If you're kind of curious, new, maybe you need a refresher, we'd love to tell you about that. We've got an Experiencing God class coming up in January that's going to be fantastic. And maybe you're a person who you've got some life hurts. You've been hurt. You've hurt others. You've made some choices that are really painful and hard. We've got a course coming up at the end of January called Life's Healing Choices, where you can learn how to walk with God in the midst of all of those things. These are ways that we discover that God is among us. These are ways that we discover that God is with us. You see, the story of the Savior, here's what we really need to hear this morning. The story of the Savior is not solely a past event. Okay, it was a historical event. And this is not just something Christians say. This is what historians tell us. Jesus really was born and really did live. Not just a past event. It's also a present reality that offers us a future hope. We're not just saved from our sins. We're saved to an incredibly different kind of life and existence. Jesus was raised from the dead to conquer the work of Satan, the power, so that we can live new lives through him, that we can learn how to go through the challenges. God offers us his power to live, his wisdom, his counsel, his way, his courage, his hope, and how to walk with him through all of life. Because what he knew, because of his experience, that in this world we will face times of trouble. In this world we will watch the news and we'll go, oh my goodness, what are we doing to ourselves? And he knew we needed good news. He knew there would be heartache and misdirection, losses and success and failures. There would be questions of whys and why nots, and if they do, why can't I? And if we let Jesus out of the manger, we begin to discover and find the answers to these questions as we discover and figure out how to follow him. Jim Carrey, good Canadian kid, lots of movies. Man, can that guy do something with his face? It's unbelievable. But Jim Carrey, over his life, has faced some highs and lows. You may have discovered a little bit about his life journey. He recently said in an interview, I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed of so they can see that it's not the answer. Huh. That's good. That actually would preach really, really well. That's Jim Carrey, who's had highs and lows. David Wallace is an award-winning, best-selling postmodern novelist, not a Christ follower at all, atheist, actually. And at a commencement speech at Kenyon College, he used some words that, frankly, it sounds like someone like a teacher like myself would say. And he said this. He goes, "Everybody worships something." He cautioned that class to consider what they choose to focus their worship on. He said, if you focus it on money, it will never be enough. If it's all about your body and your image and how you look, you're going to get older and it's not going to go well. Just because an old guy's standing in front of you, you don't have to laugh that loud. He said, if you seek power, you're going to get weak and afraid. If you seek intellect, you're going to end up feeling stupid and a fraud. This is non-faith guy, like Jim Carrey, David Wallace. Now listen, as I've tried to say to you so many times, since, you know, these aren't necessarily bad things. But when good things become ultimate things, they crush us. And they don't give us the hope. They aren't good news when they become the ultimate thing. Jesus is the ultimate thing. They're just never enough, these other things. And that's why Jesus and the scriptures and Paul and Peter and all the authors remind us, seek Jesus first. Follow Jesus first. This baby Jesus, God our Savior, is here and among us. We need to let him out of the manger. Let him, Jesus the Savior, be known in your life in an ever-increasingly way. Beyond, way beyond this Christmas season. Way beyond this room. We need Jesus, and this is an offer to all. It's good news. To sort of summarize, I was going to call Kim up. And this can be a little bit emotional, this song. And I am not trying to play on your emotions, but this song says it so well. Please stay seated. If you want to sing along, sing along. But listen to the offer of the good news in this song.
And are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. And have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And oh, what a Savior, isn't he wonderful? Sing alleluia, Christ is risen. Bow down before him, for he is Lord of all. Sing alleluia, Christ is risen.
That really says it all. What an offer. That Savior, Jesus, is among us here this morning. That Savior, Jesus, goes with you when you leave today. Are you willing to follow? Maybe you're prodigal. We went through that series, and you're just not sure you're worthy of it. Please let that go. He's here for you. Let me pray. God, this morning there may be some here who just needed to hear that in a fresh way. Maybe they've tried following, they've been following, but they kind of got sidetracked. Some things came along and it took them off their path. God, may they know that you are here for them this morning. May they know in a fresh, new way that you are Savior to them, that you want to restore them again this morning. That might be good news. They might understand that you're risen, that you're not dead, that there's power in trusting and following and leaning into you, whether it's a destructive habit or pattern or way, that they might cling to you and lean into you for that power and that strength and that wisdom and that courage. And God, maybe this morning there's some who have just never chosen to trust and follow you. In your own words this morning here, I just encourage you to come to the altar if you like, to say, I want to follow you. I don't understand all what it means to the Savior and Lord and God, but I know I need that. These other things, they're not satisfying. I agree with Jim Carrey. It's not there. I need you. I want to follow you. I want to trust you. Just in your own words, just let him know that you want him, and he'll meet you. And you'll be able to grow and discover who he is as you follow and trust. Thank you so much, Jesus, for being with us this morning. We pray these things in Jesus, our Savior, who is among us, name. Amen.